Paloma, and I'm here with Davey from PiratePods.com. And this afternoon, we'll be talking to Charlie and Sarah from the Happy Hollows.
Hi.
How are you two doing?
We're doing great.
Okay. Just pre-released Spells earlier this month, with the full release in early October. Will you tell us a little bit about what people can expect from this record, which new directions you're going in?
Sure. Well, the album, there's songs on it from sort of our whole existence as a band, which is almost 4 years, but we tried to pick, I guess, songs that had some kind of, like, coherence to them. I think that we put sort of the songs we thought were the strongest and also that kind of had a somewhat similar sound. You know, our band goes in a lot of different directions, so there's nothing sort of brand new that I'd say a new direction we're going in. It's just we're always kind of evolving and trying out different things. We did record it all with a guy named Dave Newton, who's a producer in Burbank, and he used to be in a band called the Muddy Lemon Drops, and it's his, I guess, the sonic, you know, the consistent sonic quality that you'll hear on the album is really a result of him, and so even though maybe the songs veer off in a little bit different directions, the quality of the sound and the tones and stuff should be pretty consistent throughout the album.
Great. Excellent.
Great. All right, well, I'm going to change directions just a little bit. Tell me a story about the Happy Hollows, and feel free to embellish.
A story about the Happy Hollows. Well, I guess a good sort of like story or general kind of thing that happens is the way that we write songs, and this will usually be like Sarah sort of creating a song in her bedroom and kind of coming up with all the parts to it. And then she'll bring it into our practice space, and I'll totally want to rearrange everything after she's, like, come up with all these ideas. And then we'll kind of, like, get into an argument about how the song should really be structured or set up, and this can get, like, pretty intense. And we'll have to kind of let Chris, our drummer, kind of like be the judge, and we'll both sort of like make arguments to him about how a song should go, and he gets put in these really awkward positions because Sarah and I are both like pretty opinionated, and we can like start yelling at each other and being pretty nasty and in a good-natured way, and Chris is like always wants to be friends with everybody, and so he's kind of like the judge of our band, and Sarah and I are both kind of like the different attorneys, you know, each arguing their case. And I shouldn't really be arguing because I didn't write the song, you know. I'm just, like, trying to change it all around, and that's just kind of how I am. And I know that's not a specific story, but these arguments can get pretty, like, loud, and like, so sometimes in our rehearsal space, like, we share, like, a space with a bunch of other bands, and, like, people will walk by the door and like open the door and be like, is everything okay in here? Like, you know, like just other bands will walk in because we'll be like yelling at each other, like screaming. And it's not like we're screaming about we hate each other. We're screaming about like this is how a song should be. And this happened like on multiple occasions. And they're just like, we're writing a song. And they'll be like, okay. And they'll like shut the door and leave. But that's happened on a number of different times. So that happens a lot of times when we're working on songs.
So how should songs be?
How should they be?
Yeah.
I mean, I like a song to be, to kind of have like a twist in it or have something in it that's like a little unexpected or sort of that makes your mind kind of twist around, you know? Like, that's kind of like my, you know, set having a structure that's sort of different or coming with a part that you didn't expect. And I like that because when I listen to music, that if something surprises me, it's something that I remember. And even though it might take like a few listens for me to get it, once your mind goes around, like kind of grasps that change, then then you really, like, love the band that you're listening to, you know, because they kind of made you think in a different way. So that's my theory. But I think Sarah's more along the lines of, it's just got to be a good song, you know? Like, it doesn't matter if it's, like, still, you know, you don't have to always be, like, trying to, like, kind of, like, trick people. She's just sort of, like, you know, she wants to write, like, a good, solid song with, the most important thing is, like, the melody, and people can sing along to it. So that's kind of those are the two different, like, viewpoints, I guess, in our band.
Maybe the two of you wouldn't like to hear this, but I think perhaps that's why the arguments and that portion of your creative process actually works, so, because the both of you kind of meld those two things together in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. No, I think in the end it's really good. It's a good process, and it's too good. We come to a consensus on most things. And Sarah's nice enough to let me, like, screw around with her songs a little bit, because she's the one who comes up with the chords and the melodies and most of the lyrics too. So it's good. It's nice to be in a band with her, because she's willing to, after a little bit of, like, argument, to kind of, like, give a little and let things change slightly. So, but yeah, I think that's it is, you know, it's good to have two sort of viewpoints on things in a creative endeavor, I think.
Well, also too, I think it's great for the listener to hear this too, that, you know, there is a creative process that's involved in this, and even if it involves arguing and passion there, and I think that means a lot to people to know that, you know, these people who play the music that they like to hear are actually putting something into that, a piece of themselves into it, right? You wouldn't argue if it didn't mean anything to you.
Right. Yeah, and I think it's nice. I like bands that have, you know, some of, like, my favorite bands usually have, like, a couple of people at least who sort of have input on the songs. It's not just one of those bands where, you know, it's just one writer and singer, and they can, like, interchange the other people, like, at will, you know? Like, oh, you don't like this song? Well, then you're out of the band,
right?
You know? So
yeah, it's hard to think of that as a band, though, versus I often think of bands like that as a solo artist, and they've just got whomever playing for them.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that mentioning, now, going back to the favorite band thing, were any of you at all influenced by Jay Church?
By Jay Church?
The reason I ask that is that I think at one time when I paid a visit to your MySpace page, you had a song called, I think it was entitled A Man, A Plan, A Canal.
Right.
And it was very similar to Jay Church's Panama.
Oh, well, I've actually never heard it.
Yeah, there's a song called Panama, and the lyric is A Man, A Plan, A Canal. Well, you can look it up then.
Oh, gosh. Well, I feel really
No, sad. Don't. No. It's
Well, it's the it's a palindrome, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know how I came across the palindrome, but I did, and it was so sort of, like, grabbed my attention because it's so long and it makes so much sense. So that, I mean, it's so odd that it would work, and then I wrote a song about, the song is kind of like about whoever had the idea to build the Panama Canal, you know? Like, it seems so absurd, like, to, like, cut, you know, through, like, 70 or 80 miles of land, you know? Just, like, it's such a, and it's something that could only happen, like, in the, like, you know, modern age with, you know, the tools and the engineering know-how, you know, but at the same time it was done, you know, people had, like, so many people died doing it, and I just sort of, like, the thought of the whole process to me was so...
Well, that resurfacing, it's not just resurfacing of a small area, but saying, okay, we're going to take a big chunk of the planet and just resurface it.
Right.
And change the topography,
for trade, you know, the reason they did it is because it would make, you know, facilitate trade, and so the people, you know, ships didn't have to go around the Cape of, the Straits of Magellan or whatever at the bottom of South America, and, you know, so it just seems like such a crazy endeavor to me, and the reasons behind it were so, you know, like, just sort of interesting, so that's why I wrote the song.
We'll be right back.
planner, king of Panama. A man of planner, king of Panama.
I didn't know that Jay Church had this song. It's his song. What is the theme of that song?
It's very similar in that sense, but
what was that?
Sorry about that. It's very similar. Actually, it was one of the first songs that I heard from them. But of course, their lead singer is since passed away, Lance Hahn. But when I actually heard that, I thought, wow, that's really cool. Somebody, you know, I mean, it's actually a fairly obscure band these days.
And right.
I thought, well, these. I mean, in addition to me digging on Happy Hollow's music, it seems to me they're actually, you know, listening to music that's really fairly outside the box.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, you don't have to answer these questions if you don't want to, but I just throw them out there. Do you like beets?
Beets?
Yeah.
You mean the food?
The food, yeah.
I actually really don't like beets.
Does Sarah like beets?
Sarah, do you like beets? Sarah loved beets.
See, I knew one of you would like beets. That was kind of like one of my...
She loves beets.
See? Had this feeling. Somebody liked beets.
Why did you have the feeling?
No, it just popped into my head, and so I just throw in these questions.
Huh. I don't, but yeah, Sarah loves them, so you were right.
What's your favorite type of weather?
I love the summer. I like hot, long summer days. What's your favorite kind of weather, Sarah?
I like cold... weather.
So yeah, we're opposites.
Yeah, you're opposites. That's what's making it happen.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any pre-performance rituals?
I don't really, other than like the tuning and stuff like that. But hold on,
I like to, I light my sage, and I burn off all the negative energy, and then I turn on, I have a VH1 video, History of Rock and Roll, and I have certain scenes, I watch Pete Townsend, and I watch David Bowie, and I watch Mick Jagger, old footage, and I jump around my room, and I watch these guys, and then I head out the door.
I love it.
Yeah, that's my routine every time I have to do it.
Love it.
That's
you
great
draw in some of their spirits.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, thanks.
Go ahead, David, do you have anything?
Yeah, I would ask either one of you, Sarah or Charlie, you know, this is one of my favorite questions I actually like to ask of people, and I even ask this of friends. I mean, if there's one change you would like to make in this world, I mean, if you could just wake up one day and there'd be this one change that you really wanted in the world or, I mean, within yourself, what would it be?
Actually, I'll be a real simple one. I wish we could have, like, free public health care in the United States.
Yeah.
Because I think that's such an important, and I know this is like, not to just jump on a contemporary issue,
right.
But just thinking of the past 10 years and all the money that's been spent in, you know, these overseas wars, right. and all these sort of instruments of destruction and death, and to think that, you know, that is money that could have been used to sort of set up a healthcare system in the U.S. and to make, you know, and so that everyone could be at least, you know, it's maybe too idealistic to think that everyone can be treated equally or have equal opportunities in this world, but I think everyone should have, you know, an access, if they're sick, to have have some access to health care and to be equal in that sense, as equal as can possibly be. So that would definitely be one thing I would look to, which could be changed. You know, the people didn't have to worry about that or live their lives, have jobs just so they could, you know, have jobs they hate just so they can have health care.
Well, it's just a shame that we're in a society that's advanced scientifically and medically to the point that we are.
Right.
And it's not really for the purpose of helping people. It's for the most part, and, you know.
Right. Well, I think
it's for the purpose of generating a profit for
somebody. Right. A lot of the you know, science is funded by, you know, a lot of, like, you know, big companies, a lot of it, and research and development. So a lot of things that could help people are basically they need to, you know, sell those goods so that they can fund the research.
Well, even basic health care, if yeah, well, that's just really sick with a cold to go to
right.
the doctor.
Yeah, right. But I think that is something that, you know, I wish could be, I think that would make such a big difference in our society.
Oh, totally.
Thank you.
Good answer.
What about Sarah?
What about Sarah? Does she feel like answering that question?
Sarah, is there anything you would change in this world? She said, what would she not change?
Everything. All right, so let me see. Let me just change the subject again. This is a two-part question. Can you think of one or two of your favorite live shows that you've seen? And what was the best time you had playing live?
Live shows. I think all the times I've seen Deer Hoof play is really inspiring for me. I think there's such a... Just the live show really is on another level.
Mm-hmm.
The intensity and the honesty and also the musicianship is just really... I think that in terms of their musicianship, they're really underrated, especially both the guitar players, Don and Ed, are, like, incredible. I mean, like, those guys can go out and play, like, metal, classical. Like, they're just really well-trained, and they're really great guitar players. And so that I definitely... In terms of live show, they're like at the top for me. Show that we've played. Our favorite show. Oh yeah, that's a good. We played this show in Los Angeles. Basically, six bands got together, and we called it Gorilla Fest. And we set up a PA and amp that we could move around the city, and we picked six spots in the city that we thought represented one. Each spot represented a band, and we played. One band would play their spot, and then we'd pack up in the van and drive to the next spot. And all the bands helped each other set up and take down. And the people, you know, the fans came along and followed us.
That's a great idea.
We had like a map, but we just released the map just the night before we played the show because we didn't want.
You want to get shut down?
Yeah, exactly. But it was really the guy who set it up, Andrew Jeffords, who runs he helps run Pear Space in LA, and he played us on a song on our album, and he set up the whole thing so that even if by the time someone was calling, which the police, and which in one case they were, we had time to jump in the van and drive away. So there was no chance. You know, we were very mobile, as the classical gorilla is in the jungle, and we could run away before the authorities could get us.
That's a great one.
I love it.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So.
David?
Yeah, I want to ask this one. Who was your biggest influence musically?
For me, I guess, in terms of, like, bass playing, I would go with, John Entwistle from The Who.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I always loved the way his bass moved around and, you know, didn't follow the melody and the technical aspect of it. In terms of songwriting, maybe, Sarah, do you want
to? I think for me, if I had to pick someone, I would pick Pete Townsend from The Who as well.
Wow.
I think he's just, ever since I was a little girl, first of all, I always thought I looked like his daughter or something. And I play SG2, and I just think... I like relate to him so much. Like, he's like a real spiritual, like seeker type person, which so am I. And it's just funny because like, he like wrote, you know, The Who's Tommy, and I'm always working on a musical, and it's just like I have so many projects going on at once, and I think he was like that too. And I just relate to his sense of creative expansion and always wanting to push the boundaries of what he did before, and. Just the physicality, the way he moved on stage, I just relate because I can't just stand there and play guitar. I like feel this electricity running throughout my whole body, and for me, I relate to his I love his sense of performance and songwriting and the way he plays guitar is so badass. And so yeah, I think that would be mine if
the
I had to
package,
choose one.
Yeah,
he really is a whole package. A really, really huge innovator. Actually, all of the Who, I mean, they're just amazing. And so
he was born on May 19th.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's Paloma's birthday.
No, I just know that because he and I share the same birthday, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I mean, just they're an amazing band, very influential in many ways, and I mean, even from their most poppiest songs are so good and intense. It's just amazing time.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that with us, for sure. I'll ask you this, Sarah, since you're on the phone. At one time, are you Nega Kitty?
Me? Yeah.
And what's the reasoning behind that one?
Oh, gosh. Well, I've had a lot of cats in my life.
Ah.
And when I was a little girl, I had this weird, horrible pattern of I would get a cat from the Humane Society, and within a year, it would, like die or run away. And so my parents would go out and get me another little kitten, and they were all black, and so it was weird because my extended family and friends always thought I had the same cat, like, growing up. But it was, like 10 different cats throughout the years, you know? So anyway, I've always had a lot of cats, so I think Charlie started calling me Nega Kitty, or somebody called me that as a nickname because my last name is Negadari, so they were like, yeah. Nega Kitty. So it just sort of stuck, and yeah, I'm obsessed with cats.
So you might just be a cat lady when you're...
Oh, God, it's, like, my biggest fear, I gotta be honest with you. I'm so scared I'm gonna turn into, like, one of those crazy cat ladies. Like, it's terrible.
No, I'm with you on that one, and David here can attest to that. But
way too many.
I just, like, I'm not even afraid it's gonna happen to me. I'm, like, convinced that I'm gonna be alone in an apartment with 100 cats.
I know!
And perfectly happy and unaware of the smell.
I know!
Yeah.
I know.
Not to mention that is our favorite animal. You have to. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
So you mean you don't like the?
What do you mean you don't like cats?
Cats are amazing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So amazing. And I think my spirit animal is a black panther, because I always had dreams about them, and it's like the little black kitty I always had, but the real deal.
You know what I wanted to ask? You mentioned working on a musical. Is that one of the projects you're working on now, such as a rock opera?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm always working on it, and we take a lot of times. I'll like make sort of a bunch of songs for it, and then Charlie and Crystal really like some of the songs, and we turn them into Happy Hollow songs, like Lieutenant or The Stein. So I think our record maybe has a little theatricality to the songs, because they're intended to be like big rock opera pieces, you know. Oh. But they just get made into indie rock songs, which is great. So, but I think eventually I would like to somehow like form it all. It's still really in the beginning stages, but it's definitely there. So I've got a lot of songs written for it. It's just not all together yet.
No, anything great like that, it actually does take a lot of time.
Yeah, for sure.
And also money to fund that.
It does. But yeah. I think it's like my ultimate sort of life's goal or something. When I was a little girl, I used to make musicals for the whole neighborhood, and I would like cast all the kids and like put on the operas in my bedroom. And then in high school, I directed like all the musicals, and so it's always been in my blood. And I just love creating music, and I love the whole everything involved with performing, creating music, making music for other people to sing to, and everything. So yeah, just the whole
thing. Do you have a hard time understanding people who don't like to sing?
Do I?
Yeah. Or do you?
No, like I kind of get it, cause like I, for me, it's the worst part. Like, it's the hardest part.
Okay.
For me, it's always been, like, I love playing guitar, and I've always found that to be the easiest thing for me. Like, I just took to it really naturally. Uh-huh. But singing, for me, is always like, God, how do people just, like, you know, sing in this world? Like, some people are just born with, like, this incredible ability to sing. And for me, it's always been something that, I love to do it, and I can do it, but... It is hard, and so I can understand why people would hate it, you know. But I've gotten more comfortable with it. I think this album, just recording this album, was like such a process for me to learn how to not be afraid to, like, really let it go in the studio, you know, and live, you know. I have to, I've gotten a lot better. I think when we first started, people couldn't hear me, and I was so, I was really reserved, you know. Mm-hmm. With guitar playing, I'm really balls to the wall, like, out there, and then my voice, I was like, hi, you know, so I had to learn how to, like, just get more confident with singing and, you know, let it go more, but it's definitely, it's the hardest part for me.
All right, thank you so much. Well, that's it for our questions. Is there anything that you guys would like to say to close this out, or?
Just thank you so much. Let me ask Charlie.
No, not really. Just thanks a lot for talking to us.
Oh,
it was our pleasure. We have one more thing to do, because we're pirate pods, and we ask everybody to do this. And I do judge people really, really harshly if they if they don't do this, because, you know, if anybody who's too cool to do this is, like, on my bad list. So just remember that before I ask.
And I'm not cool at all, but, you know. But
would either of you please give us your very best pirate impression?
Pirate. Arr! Arr, welcome to We're the Happy Hollows, and if you don't like our music, you're walking the plank.
Perfect. I love it. Thank you.